I like to sing, dance, pretend, and I like to have fun.
Oh my. Greetings, fellow humans. It is the first very fine of 2018. I could apologize for the lapse in between episodes, but I won't because I'm an asshole. So, let's talk about Dan Slott leaving Amazing Spider-Man because this is bananas. Slott has been on Amazing Spider-Man for almost 10 years. 10 years of working with this character, and now he's just kind of moving on. I don't know why it took almost 10 years for this guy to move on. Yes, he did have some good stories. I will gladly concede that point. It'd be a fool to argue, especially against Superior Spider-Man, which I wanted to read because I thought I'd hate it. And I ended up really, really liking it. It was such a cool idea and it was executed really well. Man, the last couple years, it has not been a good fit for Slott on Spider-Man. I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but I wasn't feeling it. I felt like he had been on the character too long. It's like, if I can use a Sprouts analogy, when a coach has kind of lost the team after being there for too long, you just need a different voice in the locker room. And here, we needed a different voice for Spider-Man. I like what Chip Zdarsky's doing. I think he can stick with it. But again, he's gone spectacular. I don't think they'll move him over. I've heard Nick Spencer's going to be taking over, and Spencer can be pretty damn funny. So I'm glad that that's happening, but I'm kind of weirded out at what Slott is going to be moving on to. He's leaving all Spider-Man behind for Iron Man. He's going to be writing The Return of Tony Stark, and it amuses me because it seems like he's going to write him as quippy as possible, like that Bendis way that basically Peter Parker and Tony Stark were interchangeable except for facial hair and confidence. That was the only dichotomy between the two for the last several years, the Parker Industries transforming Peter into essentially Spider-Man Tony Stark. And Ben has turned Tony Stark into quippy Spider-Man man. It's been really frustrating how these characters are so interchangeable at this point, and I don't see how Slott taking over Iron Man can make it any difference. I'd like to imagine that Slott, with his just honestly a galactically impressive handle on character backstory and all these other sort of continuity issues, he can bring that to Iron Man and maybe dip back into Iron Man's rogue gallery and maybe flesh that out a little bit more, because honestly, off the top of your head, name three Iron Man bad guys that weren't in the Iron Man movies. I will wait. Okay, so you're probably like, okay, does Mandarin kind of count? I guess Ironmonger and Whiplash and Justin Hammer. But that's about it for me, man. Yeah, that is a bit about for it for you, man. Mandarin hasn't been given a proper treatment in God knows how long. There's Red Dynamo, which can be used effectively, and gosh, you know what? I'm struggling for more Iron Man bad guys. All of them seem to be sort of related to some sort of form of armor, which I think Slott can find a way around, or just resuscitate some C or B list Iron Man bad guys that haven't seen the light of day in decades. I know he'll do a good job in that respect, but I'm not looking forward to this Iron Man book. Otherwise, I don't see anything new about Tony Stark, aside from maybe he has a fresh perspective since he's been gone, which, you know, you can't see it, but I am dismissive wanking motioning so hard, my wrist hurts. I guess Ironheart will still be in the book. I'm pretty sure that all the other Iron Man titles are vamoosing, to the best of my knowledge. Feel free to fact check me on that one. I'm in a booth without computer access, so. So yeah, fart on that and fart in your ears. An interesting bit of news came across today where Scott Snyder, James Tynion, and Josh Williamson will be working on a new Justice League title. Williamson had been pulled off The Flash, and I know Kevin and Drew and Ben were really shaken by this because Williamson has done such an amazing job of making this Flash book one of DC's best titles. Learning that he's going to be pairing with those two to work on this new Justice League book with art by Francis Manapul. Oh my gosh, that sounds fantastic. It's called Justice League No Justice. It's coming out on the Tales of Metal's Climax with issue number 6. And this is, you know what, fuck the rest of the people on the team, because all I need to know is that Martian Manhunter and Dr. Fate are going to be on a Justice League team. And that makes me so damn happy. They're going to be taking on a galactic global threat. And I'm so glad those guys are back in the Justice League. I have severely been missing quality takes on those characters since Robbie Thompson did the Martian Manhunter series from DC New 52. And I'm trying to think of the last time I enjoyed Dr. Fate. Probably in, Earth 2 when James Robinson was writing him. But I am happy as a pig in shit that this is coming up. What I'm not happy about is this is a harbinger that Justice League by Chris Priest and Peace Woods is going to be ending. Their run is ending on issue number 43, and JLA, Steve Orlando's fantastic Justice League series, is ending on issue 29. I don't know if that's just a creative team shaking up or the books are finito, but that's a hell of a bummer, man. Those are... Justice League finally had a really amazing team together, and what they're doing right now is presenting this really cool, grounded-in-reality story for Justice League where they are being put on trial for neglect by Batman, who was just overworked and dropped the ball, plain and simple. That title is just killing it, and JLA, it's just such a creative roster that Orlando put together, especially featuring Ray and Vixen and Adam, and I really love that he brought Prometheus back as a bad guy, and it's so sad to see that run ending as well. I'm hoping that there's got to be more coming up after Justice League No Justice, and I'm curious to see how that's going to shake out, but my gosh, I'm excited for that one. Another thing I want to touch on, because Drew made fun of me for it, and Kevin made fun of me for it, but I can't help it. I am excited for The Hunt for Wolverine to come out.
Oh, I hate when I do that.
This is going to be 40 pages by Charles Soule writing it, and art by David Marquez, who was the only good thing about Civil War II and has an incredible past work on Marvel, working with Ultimate stuff and working on Fantastic Four Season 1. I'm thrilled to death that he's going to be taking that, and the covers are going to be done by Steve McNiven, which is really awesome. It's going to be cool that they had this one coming out, 40 pages, so I guess it's going to be, unfortunately, maybe like $6, $7, $8.
Like they say, a fool and his money are soon parted.
And that's going to be the catalyst for a series of one-shots focusing on, what's been going on with Wolverine since he got out of that adamantium and came back to life and found an Infinity Stone. And each one of these four one-shots are going to have a different creative team. They each one will be containing its own distinct genre and mystery. The action-adventure issue will be called Adamantium Agenda.
Lady, you picked the wrong girl to adopt.
The horror issue will be called Claws of the Killer.
I hope you're into... recycling.
The dark romance book will be called Mystery in Madripoor.
I don't care about which spirit ladies do what to which Cajuns. I'm here to stop a wedding.
And the noir detective book will be called Weapon Lost.
Where's that blasted salami? I can smell it.
I have been jonesing over OG Wolverine for the last 3 years, and I am so glad he's back. And I'm probably going to buy these despite the fact that I didn't want to be purchasing any Marvel books. I still don't like their price point, but man, Marvel's moving in the right direction with stuff. I could care less about this Infinity whatever's coming up or whatever reboots they're doing, and the legacy doesn't grab me yet. But this Wolverine thing, I'm pretty emotionally invested in, and I really hope it's good. Right now, Marvel is in Wolverine oversaturation mode, and it's absolutely bananas if you think about how many Wolverine variant people there are in all these different books, because we've got Laura X-23, the all-new Wolverine, we've got Gabby, her clone, we've got Jimmy Hudson on X-Men Blue, along with Dakin now, we've got Old Man Logan with Astonishing X-Men and Weapon X, we have Little Wolvie joining the Exiles. It's a bit much right now.
This kid's crying. Do something.
And I need OG Wolverine to kind of consolidate this. You know what? Marvel needs to get its act together with all these different heroes of the same name or different variations of a hero. It's really run its course, and I'm sick to death of it. I know the Jane Foster Thor run will be drawing to a close at some point. Ultimate Spider-Man, Miles Morales Spider-Man, he's going to be ditching the moniker and going by, like, Spy D, with the spy being SPY. He's going to be aligning with S.H.I.E.L.D. and doing some, hopefully, some cool agent stuff. That book has potential, but I mean, I keep saying it, and I keep hoping it's true, but Marvel needs to get shit together.
Lousy year.
But putting Donny Cates on a couple books like Doctor Strange and Thanos, that's a step in the right direction. He's red hot right now, and he's got some really good storytelling chops. Also coming up is a new book by Cullen Bunn for Aftershock. And this guy, I don't know what the hell is going on, but he is just killing it. This new book is going to be called The Brothers Dracul. And it's kind of like a Dracula prelude, pre-series, whatever you want to call it. It's Cullen Bunn and Mirko Kolak, who had worked on The Punisher in the past. And this is where Dracula and his brother Radu, during their teenage years where they were held hostage by the Ottoman Empire, and they learned how to be monster hunters. And I'm really curious to see what's going to happen to them and what happens to Radu when Vlad Dracul becomes Dracula. After what he did with the Unholy Grail, the King Arthur retelling, I am just 100% sold on this. And I love Dark Ark, and I'm so glad that Aftershock is just like, how many books can you write? All right, let's go for it. And working with whatever he wants to pitch. That's amazing. I'm really excited for this book. We're going to do Pitch It this week.
Do the pitch!
And with this, it's not going to be some, like, a funny, tongue-in-cheek kind of pitch. I wanted to try my hand at pitching something that I would really like to do. So Marvel, if you're listening, pay attention. I have an idea for Dane Whitman, the Black Knight. This is a character that's nothing but his entire career has been a supporting character. He's always been known by the Ebony Blade. Even his Marvel all-new, different, new, have-you Marvel book where he was in Weird World. The whole point of that book was he was in a different setting, and the Ebony Blade was first and foremost, and it wasn't very good. It was disappointing. What I wanted to do is take Dane Whitman and give him a kingdom to be a protector of. I thought it'd be neat that he was, when he was first introduced in like Avengers 43 or something like that, he has a scientific background. He's a man of science and a man of principle, and I feel like he can implement that by choosing a new city to declare as his kingdom to protect, and that one would be Detroit. I can see him doing a lot of good in Detroit that's not the best. Still a high murder capital, and I feel like putting someone like them in Detroit and maybe giving him, God, I would love to use Nightshade from David Walker's Nighthawk. I thought she was brilliant. I think she'd be a brilliant foil for Whitman just to how they're going to go about defending this city and improving this city. And I think he can be used in a creative way fighting, you know, just street-level violence. I would like to bring back various villains based on weaponry because I think that Whitman needs to be accustomed to using other weapons that aren't the Ebony Blade. I would get rid of the Ebony Blade because I think it's dumb. And I want him to be at a point where he is doing such a good job, he's such a good street-level character, that he's being recruited for teams. And I want Whitman to honestly say, no, I'm happy here. I don't need to be part of a team again. I'm not a supporting player. For something like that, a wish list, of course, would be like Guillaume March or Clayton Crane or something like that. Marvel's working on getting a good stable of talent going. With this whole Young Guns thing, by the way, which I think is kind of funny. Because a couple of the guys, Dodeman is one of the Young Guns. And you'll notice when I say that, you can almost see the quotation marks around that. Another one is Aaron Cuter, who's been around at DC for a while, but he's new to Marvel. And Mike Del Mundo, whose work in Elektra I was going over in, like, 2012. So, like, those three guys, I don't, Russell Dodeman especially, like, doing amazing work with Thor, I don't see how they can be qualified as Young Guns who are poised for greatness when I think their work is pretty damn great as it is. But working with any of those guys would be a treat on this. And that's what I have to a pitch this week. Stay tuned for the Court of Nerds podcast for updates on any and all nerd culture. We also address comics and weekly reviews and whatnot. Also be sure to tune in to my new venture, Reverse Centaur, which is a D&D podcast on the Court of Nerds Network, and that features me and Captain Dick Sledge and Greg, West Coast Avenger Aronica, and Marjorie Steele, who's special to us from on Cosgirl. We're having a lot of fun so far, and the third episode is coming out, if not already. And I think it's fun, even if you don't like D&D and just want to hear a cool story developing in front of your earlobes, I would listen to that one. Give it a shot, and give it a shot to all the other podcasts we have on our network, like Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood and That's So Braven. They all touch on topics that you wouldn't normally be interested in, but once you get invested in it, I personally am quite surprised, and I think you'll be too. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being part of the Court of Nerds family, and check out your local comic book stores.